Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. God's word tells us that the law is written on our hearts. This means that by nature, human beings understand something about morality. What is good and what is bad. What is right and what is wrong. Now, over the course of our lives, even though this law is written on our hearts, we learn certain skills, like how to justify ourselves. And thereby, we sort of silence that law that is in our hearts, and we don't allow it to condemn us the way that it should. Consequently, what we also like to do is sometimes when we are persistent in sin, that law on our hearts goes unheard, and our hearts become numb to the fact that we are sinning. And so this law, it sometimes gets perverted that's in our hearts. But the law is there from the very beginning. The law is within us. It's part of who we are as human beings. And therefore, we feel rather comfortable in it. No big deal. Law's not a bad thing. And it's important for us to keep this in mind as we approach the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke's gospel begins by setting the stage for this parable. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" You see, the law comes naturally to this lawyer. And honestly, he even starts out with the wrong question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He somehow believes that his own obedience to the law will be sufficient for him to gain eternity. Love God, love your neighbor. I mean, he has the correct summary of the law. That is right. Jesus, in fact, even says that. Do this and you will live. The problem isn't that the law doesn't promise salvation. The problem is that as the poor, miserable sinners we are, we can never have perfect obedience to the law. This lawyer can't, nor can we. And so while the law does come naturally to us, we are also condemned by it. Sin is common to all people, just as the law is. And honestly, for us to be saved by the law, it means we have to do the whole thing. Right? In James, we hear that whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point, has become guilty of all of it. Okay, so now gaze into your own heart. Gaze into your own mind. Think about the last 2 hours of your life. How are you doing at the law so far? You feeling pretty comfortable in the law now? Because Lord knows that I don't feel comfortable in the law. Maybe we can restrain our outward act of sinning for a while, but truth be told, we will never restrain the sinful thoughts that move through our minds. We will never completely tame our sin. So imagine it this way then. The law has written you a check for eternal life, but you, as a sinful human being, are incapable of cashing that check. So there it is. But the lawyer doesn't get it. That's his problem when he comes to Jesus. He doesn't understand that he cannot somehow outwardly obey the law, and that will gain him an inheritance. And so he seeks for Jesus to offer a definition. Who is my neighbor, right? He thinks that maybe he can massage the law a little bit in order to somehow wriggle his way into eternal life. And that's when Jesus tells the parable, right? The man who falls among the robbers and the priest doesn't help and the Levite doesn't help, but the Samaritan, the one whom Jews despised, The Samaritan goes to great lengths to help this man who is naked and beaten and left for dead. My friends, you ought to live your lives as the Good Samaritan. Love your neighbor. Be the Good Samaritan. Have compassion on those whom you come in contact with, especially to those who are placed directly into your life. I mean, we can pray for people who are halfway around the world. But God has good work for you to do with the people that you're sitting next to in this church right now. God has work for you to do with the people who are in your family. God has work for you to do with the people that maybe you work alongside or the people you associate with. There are people who are literally placed into your life, and God wants you to love them. God wants you to have compassion on them. Be the Good Samaritan, because you are Christians. Make sense? All right. That's not what the parable's about. Sorry. That's not what the parable's about. Now, Jesus doesn't pull his punches. He wants you to be the Good Samaritan. He wants you to love your neighbor. That's good. That's right. That's salutary. Wonderful. But if you think that is the point of the parable, then you fall into the same works righteousness mindset that this lawyer had when he approached the Lord. The parable isn't about you loving your neighbor. It's about Jesus loving you. We want the parable to be about us loving our neighbor. We want to see ourselves as the Good Samaritan in the story. But we're not. We're the person who is in the ditch. We're the one who is beaten up by Satan and our sin and the world. We're the ones who are left naked and ashamed because we lost the righteousness of God. We're the ones who cannot help ourselves. We need a Good Samaritan. Now, we could look to our own observance of the law, but just as the Levite and the priest epitomize the law, they also leave us no better off than we were before. If we are to be saved, it is not through the law. It's through the Good Samaritan. It's through your Savior and mine, Jesus. He was despised among his own people, just like a Samaritan. Wasn't accepted by the powers that be in his own people. And what does he do, though? But he comes down from his place in heaven, and he sees you in your need, living alongside humanity, and he has compassion on you, and he loves you, and he takes care of you. He binds you up, and he heals you, and he forgives your sins. He gives you a free ride at his own expense, and he puts you in a place of safety and recovery. And then he goes, you know what, I'm going to come back, and then you're going to have to pay me back for all the great stuff I did for you, right? Of course not. He's more than happy to pay the expense. He willingly goes to the cross to pay for you with his precious blood and with his innocent death. There's nothing you have to do. There's no cost that you have to pay. Jesus has done it all. And then, what's even better, is he leaves you an open tab. He literally says, whatever expense they rack up on their road to recovery, on their road to forgiveness, on their road to restoration, I will pay for that too. And this is why we are in church this morning. Jesus pours out the absolution. Your sins are forgiven. And you know what? You're going to need that again next week. And the week after that. And until the Lord calls you to heaven or he comes again, you're going to need that every day of your life. You have an open tab. Jesus is willing to pour out forgiveness for you so long as you repent and seek his grace, his mercy, his love for you. And it's on the altar today, too. We have the Lord's Supper, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and strengthen you. I mean, that's what this guy who fell in the ditch did, right? The guy who fell amongst robbers? He needed someone to strengthen him, to restore him, to put him on the road to recovery. And here we have the medicine of immortality. Jesus, in your mouths, for your benefit. Jesus asks, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus is the one who shows you mercy. Jesus is the perfect neighbor. Jesus is the good Samaritan. And he will not pass you by. Not today, not ever. He comes to you to have compassion. He comes to you to clothe you with his righteousness, to restore you into all the goodness that he knows you need. And so as this sermon comes to a close, we're actually going to answer the lawyer's question. He came to Jesus and he said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And I assume all of you good people want eternal life too. The answer is, know that Jesus is the Good Samaritan. Know that he is the one who shows mercy to you in his death and in his resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.